Welcome everybody, this is Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices webcast, and this time we're going to talk about the Bulk UPA Custom Profile Properties Update API, which is something new and cool for SharePoint Online. And the name is pretty long, but let's actually go through the presentation and the webcast and I will explain what is it all about, because this is addressing a relatively typical request from enterprise customers on getting additional custom properties available in SharePoint Online. With me today is Bert Jansen from Microsoft side. And Bert, quick intro.
Yeah, thanks, Jesse. So today I will be your lovely assistant. So I'm Bert Jansen, and I'm software engineer inside Microsoft.
Thank you. And let's actually get going on the presentation. So before we actually deep dive on the things, there's always some new people watching on this webcast. Just to explain, the Office Dev BNP is a Office developer and SharePoint developer oriented patterns and practices initiative. This is a community driven program or initiative, and we provide samples, guidance, patterns and practices around SharePoint, Microsoft Graph, Office 365 APIs and all of that stuff. HTTP/AKMS Office Dev BNP is the one URL you want to remember. So let's actually get going on today's topic. So we're going to talk about user profile bulk import API. And the easiest way to understand what is this and what is it actually addressing is to go through this one slide step by step. So typically, when you start using SharePoint Online, bigger customers especially have a local Active Directory. And you synchronize your identities from your on-premises to the SharePoint Online, or to be precise, you synchronize your identities from on-premises to the Azure AD or Microsoft Azure. So as part of every single Office 365 tenant, you will have an Azure subscription where the identities and attributes of these users or these identities is actually stored. And you use an AD sync or whatever tooling to synchronize identities.
Used to be their sync and think in name. Yes. Now it's AD Connect, if I recall correctly.
Yes.
It's kind of a built-in FIM client that does all of this magic.
And obviously, it doesn't really matter what tooling you have been using or using, but the whole point is that you're getting the identities on the other side. And yes, there's probably best practices around this one, but let's not concentrate on that one. You get your identities moved to the Azure Active Directory site. You can configure which attributes are getting replicated from the on-premises Active Directory to the Azure Active Directory. So you can, as an example, you can replicate your address information or office information or whatever additional attributes you have. Now, the challenge of the what we're addressing with this API is the second bullet point. In SharePoint Online, you cannot configure which of those attributes are getting replicated from the Azure Active Directory to the SharePoint Online user profile storage. In on-premises, you can actually do this within the SharePoint farm. You go to the user profile service application and you can configure which of the attributes are getting replicated from on-premises AD. In SharePoint Online, this capability is not available due to reasons or another.
Yes. Right. So, Vesa, did this sync from Azure Active Directory to SharePoint Online? Do we have somewhere a list of properties that are synced? Because I do recall from the past that it was like a pretty well hidden to know which properties were actually synced and which were not synced from Azure AD into SharePoint Online.
Yes, so this has been one of the areas where our documentation have been no doubt lacking. And if nothing else, we actually published the list of those attributes which are getting synced as part of the blog post related on this user profile bulk import API.
Yes, finally.
Finally. And we have a list of those attributes also in this presentation. So you can double check which of the properties are getting actually replicated. We will absolutely make sure that will be published in TechNet at some point. But using the BNP processes, which are slightly more agile, we were able to get this communicated as part of the release of this API. And no doubt a common ask from the people to understand what actually gets replicated and what do I need to then get replicated using a custom synchronization tool. Now, and that's precisely the thing what this API is helping on. Back in December, I'm going to slightly go back on the times of how did we get this one implemented and how was this done before. So back in December 2015, or was it actually November, we released a new API to support user profile updates in the SharePoint Online. So what you could have done is that you could have written a custom synchronization tool, which is then replicating one by one user profile attributes to one by one user identities in the user profile store. Now, the problem of that API, it absolutely works, but the challenge of that API is the fact that it really isn't that performant, because you need to loop in and access every single user profile attribute one by one using remote code, and then you update the user profile properties. In the case of larger customers where we have tens of thousands of end users or accounts or hundreds of thousands of accounts, that process might have taken way too long. And that wasn't really a suitable implementation. So what the user profile bulk import API is giving us is a JSON file format API, which can process these changes or needed attributes in a much faster way. You still need to have a custom synchronization tool, which is then creating this JSON file, either for example, from a local Active Directory or from the Azure Active Directory. So getting access on that information, formatting that to a JSON file format, and then getting that to the SharePoint side. Or it can be also whatever LOB system. So you can, as long as you can generate the JSON file using the format, which we'll go through in a second, and the code as well, you can get any attributes updated, basically any attributes updated in the user profiles in the SharePoint Online.
There's a question about the JSON file. So do we need to take into account like changes, meaning one way would be to, if you have LOB system, only create a JSON file with the changes in the LOB system. Another way, which is easier to develop, is just dump the properties from the LOB system into the JSON file and then send it to SharePoint. So can SharePoint deal with, oh, this property was already there, I just override it, or do we need to be very picky and carefully fill the JSON file?
So the SharePoint doesn't really actually understand what has been changed or not. So you can actually create a JSON file which is updating only one property for individual identities, or two properties or three properties. So having that kind of a change process would have to come from your source system. So if the source system is providing you, let's say, information around this attributes have been changed, you can actually then loop in at that one to the JSON file format.
Right, but that wouldn't be necessary. So you could do without a change tracking in the source system. You could just dump the whole bunch of properties and send them over.
Absolutely. And obviously, more properties you dump, more identities you're processing, the more time it will take. So
that's
there
for
sure. Is a opportunity, obviously, for interesting implementations or interesting implementation. This may be a wrong way of putting it. For intelligence implementation on just touching those properties which are needed and only in those identities where the properties have been changed. But this API in SharePoint Online doesn't do that. So it has to be implemented as part of the extraction process wherever the attributes are coming.
Yes, makes sense.
And then what our tooling will have to do, it's uploading that JSON file to a SharePoint Online tenant. So the location has to be in that particular tenant where the import process will be started. The actual processing of these user profile attributes will happen or will be done by a server-side out-of-the-box implementation, which is a new fellow in SharePoint Online, which is then reading the queue of these import processed items. And that server-side API is then capable of updating user profiles in a much faster way, comparing the accessing or updating those one by one remotely. And then obviously the final step will be that wherever you need to use or show those user profile attributes and processes, everything will be available over there. Technically, this is actually relatively simple. We are only, in the SharePoint Online side, we are only exposing a new API, which is reading that JSON format. And this is actually a really interesting opportunity for ISVs or community to build a proper automated tooling to be the number three person or a number three within this chart, which can have some level of intelligence. And we'll come back on that one slightly later in the slides. Good. Let's actually have a look on the JSON format. And there's a real-life sample, which we will use within our demo code as well. So the JSON format file format is relatively simple. You will have a block for every single identity. For every single identity, you will decide what, well, you will need to decide what you will be using as the identity matching matcher, whatever that term is. In this case, we are using as an example the email. So you can see on the right side, there's an ID name property, and then there's a ID name. We are using an email, vesace@contoso.com, to identify what is the user profile entry which we will update in that particular case. The ID name property, which was mentioned there, is not actually meaningful because we are creating that mapping and within our code, and I'll come back on that one within the following slide. Then after the ID name or the identifier for every single user profile block, there's those individual properties. The property names in the JSON file do not actually matter. So you can actually see that on the right side, we're using terminology property 1, property 2 for every single identity. And that's they don't actually matter because we are creating that mapping between this JSON file format and user profile attributes within our code. And that will be visible in the following slides as well.
All right. Vesa, I see at the left side, I see attribute name underscore M and then multiple values. So can I conclude that this also supports multi-value properties? So you can specify n values for one particular property
correct.
In a JSON file?
Yes, you can have a multi-value properties and the API supports them. The API does not, however, support taxonomy-based property values, unfortunately. So you cannot use this API to import taxonomy-based properties. But if it's a multi-value string, as an example, you can get all of those included in the processing as well.
Right, and this will cover like 98% of the cases anyhow.
Absolutely. And obviously based on the feedback for feature crews and for Microsoft, maybe the map, the taxonomy field properties will be there in the future. It really depends on the demand. So we'll see how this one is evolving. So let's have a quick look on the code. We'll come back on the, we'll have a closer look on the code. We'll be running this step by step in debugging mode as well. But now thinking on the previous slide, we had that ID name as the identifier. And in this particular case, we used an email as the identifier. It is actually recommended to use a cloud ID as the identifier because then that's more, how would I put it, more precise of matching the user.
So,
which is on the other side.
Right, so essentially it's the UPN value, user principal
yes,
name,
correct.
That you sync from Azure, from a local ID to Azure AD and then into SharePoint,
correct.
Which often is similar to email address, so people kind of mix them, but the real value is the UPN.
True.
Or the cloud ID, like you mentioned.
As part of our piloting, we realized that some customers had some issues around email or using the email as the identifier. So the email might not necessarily be unique. In some of the customers, it might be. So it's debatable. But there's multiple options on what is the value on the UPA, which is used to identify the person which properties will be updated. And the second thing what we see here, I'm going to actually do some drawing on the slide just to make sure that you're able to follow up on things. So that's the essentially here we are saying that this is the property in a JSON file which we use as the identifier. And that was the fact that we're using email as the identifier. And in here, you're able to see then the actual mapping. So in the JSON file, we have a property 1, property 2. And those can be whatever, as long as we have this mapping created properly within the code or within the PowerShell. So in this particular case, as an example, we're saying that the property 1 value actually is a city custom property in the user profile store in the SharePoint Online. And property 2 value is an office code. And so city and office code are custom properties which are created within this particular user profile settings in that particular tenant. And then the following thing is just to queue up the item. So this is an asynchronous execution. We queue up a import profile property, a info profile execution, and essentially that will create a server side time and job task, which will be processed within 10 minutes or within 10 to 15 minutes. And obviously the processing time absolutely depends on the file size. So how big is the JSON file? How long does it actually take to get processed? And one thing maybe just to kind of pinpoint, when you're queuing up an item, you will get a unique GUID, a work item ID, which again then use to go and check, is this execution already done? Is this execution already done? If you want to implement something slightly more intelligent around this queuing system. So you can, for example, go and show the status of your previous queues in, let's say, provider hosted add-in or whatever you, however you want to implement this.
Again, something for PNP would be a nice sample.
That would be a nice sample, absolutely, absolutely. There's interesting opportunities of creating more enterprise-ready implementations of this one. This is just a reference for PowerShell version of the same code. So it's exactly the same code asking, it's slightly more bigger because this is actually showing also asking the admin URL and the username and so on. But pretty much there's the name, that's where we're saying that we're using an email. There's the user profile mapping, and that's the one which is doing the actual job. So processing can be absolutely done using PowerShell as well. Well, technically this is PowerShell using code or managed code, but you don't actually need to write or open up a Visual Studio to make this happen, which is a good thing to remember. You will need to, however, have a SharePoint Online SharePoint Online season version, which is later than the one which released back in December 2015. If you install the newest version of SharePoint Online PowerShell commandlets, those will install you the latest version of the season as well. And that will have this API available. There are some import file restrictions, and these are the values which we have right now. So the max JSON file size can be 2 gigabytes. So if you have more data to process, you should be then submitting multiple queues, multiple work items to the queue. The max properties is 500,000, and that's pretty huge in a single file. And that's mainly just making sure that the file sizes are not too big, but you can always split, like mentioned, you can always split your import files to multiple items, and then you can queue up multiple items in a queue, and that will make then larger implementations or larger enterprise imports also available. We are, by the way, using this, for example, in SharePoint, in Microsoft company as well, so within our MSFT tenant, we are importing a lot of the user profile data using this API as well.
So when you upload multiple files, do they end up in one queue, and are they then processed in series, serially? Or is there, like, in the end, multiple queues, or did that process the files in parallel?
So that would come back on the exact implementation on server side, and I don't think we actually even want to disclose that. That's going to be queued up. So what would happen is that you would create multiple items in a worker queue, and those will be then processed one by one. We will adjust the timing of the time and job, and we will adjust the threading of the server side time and job as needed in the future. Based on the usage and based on the demand.
Depending on the load, probably exactly. Also from the systems, a bit like all the SharePoint Online APIs, it's more a bit of throttling in built into those APIs.
Exactly. Good. And then the one slide which we promised to actually have on the slide as well, and this is on the reference blog post, which you can find the link to that blog post in the video notes as well. This is the list of those properties which are getting replicated from Azure Directory to SharePoint Online profile site. And like I said, we haven't been successful of communicating or writing or publishing a documentation around of this one in past, but it's good to know which of these are getting replicated in the SharePoint Online. So If you need to have any additional information for user profiles, then you need to use, for example, this user profile bulk update API to get them there. Any custom property what you're adding in SharePoint Online, the user profile within your tenant has to be marked as not editable for end users. If the property is editable for the end users, then this API will not actually import that information. You will get an exception which will say that, sorry, you're trying to map a JSON file to a property which is not marked as is editable by the end user. So I'm not going to actually import the data. So we're not going to actually override any of the end user, any of the data what the end user might have actually added there.
But you could still use the API to do an initial load of those properties, like mark them as non-editable, do the initial load of data, and then at that point gives users the option to edit their data.
True, you can absolutely go through UBA and modify the settings to be not editable for end users, then do an initial import and then change that setting as well. We don't have, however, APIs to modify user profile property settings in SharePoint Online.
Correct.
So going through that one is, well, it's relatively painful, especially because the UI is quite slow in the SharePoint Online admin.
But it was more meant for like a one-time thing.
Yes.
I don't think it would be good to need to try to automate that because then you're fighting against the system.
True, absolutely. So let's actually have a quick look on the code, and we'll step through the code one by one and have a look on the locking of the executions as well. So I'm going to switch to a Visual Studio, and this is the sample which is referenced, and this is really, really simple sample, and it's intentionally a console application, which is asking then the relevant information within the console UI, because that's the simplistic way of understanding how the API actually works. The sample name is User Profile Batch Update API. You can find that from the dev.office.com or the BMP code gallery. It also contains a PowerShell example on the API, so you can actually use that one or the actual code which we will use within this demo. It also has a sample .txt file, and let's have a look on that one in a second, which is essentially just showing the basic structure. So this is as simplistic as it goes. So these are identities within my personal test tenant. And in this case, I do have a property one, property two again. Then just for a testing perspective, there's an unknown email address, which doesn't exist, or the identity doesn't exist in the SharePoint Online. What will happen is that SharePoint will notice that this identity could not be found. It will write an exception to our exception locking, but it will continue. So it doesn't actually abort the import. So it will then continue within the following item, and that will be updated accordingly. Which is obviously a good thing, because every now and then people come and go within the companies, and we can't always guarantee that all of the identities can be found from a SharePoint Online side. So let's actually go here and start executing the code. So I'm going to actually, there's a breakpoint already waiting on that side. It's going to first ask me the relevant information. Let me actually hide that one. It's going to ask me first the admin URL, username, password, and the URL to the file located within your tenant. So let's actually get ongoing. So start debugging. And I'm going to move the console application in here. So enter the admin URL of your tenant. So let's see if I can actually get this right. Bert can be my assistant, making sure that everything goes fine. Enter your name and enter my password.
Well, it would be hard to enter your password for me, but
what do you mean? It's actually the password.
I can verify only stars.
That's the thing. The password is clever. It's only stars.
It's only stars. Yes.
And then I need to pinpoint the file which is already uploaded to my tenant. So let's actually have a look on that.
Just for the file upload, if you have a 2 GB file, we will be able to upload it using remote APIs as well.
True. 2 GB files can be uploaded using the large file uploading mechanism.
Correct. So which we have in PNP sample for.
Absolutely. So in this case, I'm in my own tenant, so vesa.j.sharepoint.com and /site, that's theme, and double checking the URL at the same time. In here, I have a document library called docs, and in my document library, I have a sample.txt. So essentially, that's exactly the same file which was in Visual Studio, which then have identities which are matching the identities within my tenant. And there's some weird folder structures here. We'll come back on that one in a second. So I'm going to move back here, vesa.j.sharepoint.com/science/theme/docs/sample.txt. This looks correct, so let's start executing that. Our Visual Studio debugger is hitting, so we can actually make sure that things are working properly. I'm going to jump on there. I'm going to execute the execute query. This is just for confirming that I can actually get the connection up and going from my machine towards SharePoint Online. We got a title called Tenant Administrator. Not really a relevant piece of code for the actual demo, but it verifies this, that the connectivity is fine. We're using Office 365 Tenant Object. Let me slightly adjust the size still. And we're loading that one. And then we actually get moving on the import. So in this particular case, we're using the email as the import identifier. So that's going to be then used as who is the person we can update in the SharePoint Online user profile store. We're also saying that the user lookup key is ID name. And let me go back on the sample TST file for this one. So technically, this one here, it can be, again, whatever you want. This could be called identity, this could be called ID. In this sample case, it's an ID name. So within my code, I'm then saying that that is the property in a JSON object, which we will use as the email identifier to find the right user profile in the user profile store. And then we need to do the mapping. Essentially, we're saying that the property 1 in the JSON file will be actually mapped to the user profile property called city. And that's the internal property name in the user profiles store. And the property 2 will be mapped to a office. And going back in here, we have property 1 and property 2. And that's property 1 was for city and property 2 was for office. Of funky office names, but that's absolutely fine. And then we will queue up the process. The initial verification will happen whenever we do the execute query. So at this point, SharePoint will double check, for example, that these properties do exist in the user profile store, that they are marked as not editable by end users. So there's some level of a verification already at this point, so before you're able to actually queue up the item. Whenever the queuing up has happened, what we got was a unique good. So we do have now work item a value, which is giving us a unique good as the identifier. And we can use this identifier to go and check the status of this particular item using the get import property, profile property job with a giving that good as a attribute, as a parameter. So let's actually do that. We execute that, and we are getting a status for that item, which is right now submitted, and there should be no error at this point. And if we have a quick look on the console, we can see that that's the unique ID, request status is submitted, error status is no error. And then there's another option which says that we're getting actually access on all of the import profile property jobs. So I'm gonna put a breakpoint over there. Let's run that through. And what that one does is that it's actually listing all of my previous executions as well and their status. So request status error, 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 error status import completed with error. So these are the previous executions and theirs are last request, which we added in the queue a few minutes ago. So because the queuing can, the processing of the item can take a while, let's have a look on what actually happened in last time or within the previous execution. So we actually got a request status error, error status import completed with error. And that means that the execution was partly successful, but there were some exceptions during the execution. And now the question is, how can I know what was actually wrong? Well, the locking works in a way that if we go back on the SharePoint site, the UPA, the bulk API, will actually create a folder, a subfolder, for every single execution which has been queued up from this file's location. So you really need to take this one into account within your real production-ready implementation. And we don't have any automated cleaning for this one as well. So it would be a great opportunity once again to write maybe a community tooling which will demonstrate how to clean up, have a, for example, configuration in an Azure web job, how often the old logs will be cleaned, and what do we do if we report, for example, the exceptions to somebody else whenever there's an exception happening. So let's have an example. This one is for item ID, so you can actually see the queued item unique ID for the queued item there in the folder name. And if we open up this one, we are able to see a txt file. And if we open up this txt file, we can actually see the exception, what has happened for that particular item execution. And let me, well, I'm going to actually quickly do zooming. So we are able to see that the item issue was that the identity was not resolvable, and we had an unknown email address within our import file, which we couldn't actually relocate in the identities in our user profile store in SharePoint Online. And then there's a valid description, which is telling user identity cannot be resolved. So all of the other items or identities were processed successfully, but for this particular item, this was not found from a user profile store, so we skipped it, and execution continued. But like mentioned, this is a right now all of the locking will happen in the same folder where the import file is located automatically, and it will generate a subfolder for all of the executions. And we do not have an automated cleaning natively within the API. So that would be then something to implement within your real production-ready implementation.
Which should be fairly easy because we have API to check job status. If a job is done, you can find the relevant folder based on the identity. File name and the GUID, and then check the logs, and if needed, alert folks or automatically clean up. Yeah,
sure.
It isn't rocket science, but it would be nice to have.
True, absolutely. And obviously, if everything goes well with the import, there won't be any log files. So this is only for those exceptions which has happened issues which have happened during the execution of the server-side time job, the actual import.
Well, I can imagine that in an enterprise context, if you have 10,000 or 20 or 100,000 accounts, that you also have mismatched accounts, new accounts which were not yet replicated, or deleted accounts, so all this will be the risk of having some errors.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's get back on the slides and close up the thing. I think we went through the main processing. There's a PowerShell file in the sample as well, and you can use PowerShell to use the API as well. So few common questions around this topic. While we have been discussing with some of the customers piloting this functionality, why isn't SharePoint Online using directly Azure AD as the profile store? So why do we actually have the user profile storage in the SharePoint Online rather than using the Azure AD? Which is absolutely a valid question. Now, and the right answer or why is mainly because if we have a look on the historical way of how SharePoint moved to the cloud, and when we actually moved SharePoint to the cloud, we didn't have this capability of custom profile attributes in the Azure AD. The other dimension also on this one is that changing the user profile in the SharePoint Online to point directly to the Azure AD would have implications, like performance implications. Not necessarily, but there might be performance implications. And it's a relatively big architectural design change as well. Because a lot of the user profile attributes are surfaced in the SharePoint UI, so switching from a local SharePoint user profile service application to Azure AD would be quite significant change.
Right, and we would also need to be able to support write back to Azure AD from SharePoint.
True.
Because people can edit properties.
Absolutely.
And then be saved and stored in Azure AD.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it might happen at some point. It's right now not there, and due historical reasons as well. The other common question what we're getting with this one is that, hey, this was for SharePoint Online. I would like to use the similar kind of an API within the on-premises as well, because I want to import some user profile attributes from a LOB system to my SharePoint 2013 or SharePoint 2016 form. In SharePoint 2016, there has been changes around the BCS capability for importing attributes. So the BCS import capability is actually not there. So having this kind of capability for SharePoint on-premises would also make sense. Right now, this is for SharePoint Online, however, for SharePoint Online, and we do not have at least a short-term plans of getting this released in on-premises. But your feedback is absolutely crucial. So please use the user voice and the community channel to indicate if there's a demand for getting this kind of an API for on-premises as well. Because technically, that API and implementation doesn't have really anything which would be dependent on the fact that we are in the cloud. It is a server-side time HO within a SharePoint Online, which is processing the items. So theoretically, we could actually implement this in on-premises as well.
Right. So if I'm on a SharePoint 2016 customer and I want to populate user profile properties, what options do we have? Is the only option that I have then is the web service API to do them one by one?
Unfortunately, yes, which isn't as optimal as it should be. Or make sure that, or use an alternative tooling to get the attributes to the to your local Active Directory.
Yeah, and then configure the sync from local Active Directory. Yeah.
And absolutely, we understand that that's not an optimal story, but life is what it is, so to say. But obviously, if there's a demand for this one, please use the user voice and other channels, and we'll get the feedback collected, and then the feature crews can prioritize their resourcing around getting this API for on-premises as well. Quick resources will be in the description of the video as well. So there's an introduction blog post for this API in the dev.office.com, a relatively big one. It is explaining the APIs, it's explaining potential exceptions and how to resolve them. It also explains, has an answer and notes around common questions around this API as well. An example on PowerShell and all of that. And like that blog post in this video, we used a sample, this user profile sample from the PNP code gallery, which is in the dev.office.com. There's a direct link here, or you can go to dev.office.com/patterns-and-practices and you click the code samples and use the search tooling to find the sample. That's it. That's all we're going to do within this webcast. Any last words from your side, Bert?
Well, I think this is a pretty exciting functionality and will be very useful for big enterprise customers due to the volume that they have to synchronize. So great that we have it. Looking forward to also see this appearing in SharePoint on-premises, though, but step by step.
One step at a time, unfortunately. We need to be patient on those things. And absolutely, like Bert said, this is a common request from our larger customers. Of getting a big or large amount of information updated in the user profile properties in the user profile store. And this API is helping on resolving that. And like mentioned quite a few times, I think there's a massive or really big opportunity for ISVs or also community and or community tooling of building at least a simple tooling around this API, which is then automatically, for example, cleaning and reporting issues and all of that as a Azure web job in SharePoint Online. But I think it's time to close up. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and hopefully you find this stuff interesting. And we'll be back with a new one sooner or later.